You would in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. And I will say this, we are scheduling a baptism in the weeks to come. We don't have a date yet. We don't exactly know because we need a certain number of people that need to be baptized for us to fill the tank and to coordinate to make everything happen. And so if you need to be baptized, please tell me or my wife or Brother Ike, who's running around here somewhere, if you let one of us know, we'll put you on the list. And then whenever we have enough people to do the baptism, we'll let you know what the date is and we'll schedule that out. So if you've recently gotten saved or you've recently recommitted yourself to the Lord, especially if you've just given your heart to the Lord, you really do need to be baptized. Now, it doesn't make you more saved and it definitely doesn't save you, but it's an outward expression of the reality that's going on the inside. He baptized you spiritually into the body of Christ. And when you're baptized in water, that's you telling the world, I have been baptized into the body of Christ. I confess he's real. That's what it's all about. So if you need to be baptized, amen, let me or my wife or Brother Ike know, and we will take care of it from there. Amen. Proverbs chapter 2. I want to minister a message today that I think I've ministered this type of a message more than any other in my time as a pastor. And I hope to, in the years to come, minister it even more. And it simply concerns the importance of you and I as Christians getting the Word of God in our hearts. You simply can't survive without it. You have to have it. But I don't want you walking away today thinking that pastor preached the message to read your Bible, because I'm not preaching to read your Bible. When you look at the entirety of the New Testament, there's only two places that it says read your Bible. And in both of those places, it's talking about the community coming together and a public reading of the scripture. All of the rest of the time is telling you and I in our private lives, we need to study the Bible. And there is you read a newspaper. You study the Bible, okay? You read the signs on the side of the road to know which way you go. You read those. You study the Bible. And so when you study the Bible, it means you need more there than just the Bible. You've got to have a pencil and a notepad. You've got to take some notes. You have to put your mind into the scripture to try to extract knowledge from it. And so that's what I want to preach this morning. From the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, I'll just begin reading with verse 1. And I love how it starts out, my son. It lets me know that my father is speaking directly to me. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide thy commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ears to wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and search for her as hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And I'd like to entitle the message today, The Knowledge of God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much that you've given us the Word of God. It's your heart, it's your words, Lord, that you've put on paper so that it doesn't change from day to day or season to season, but we can be sure that the Bible is the engrafted word of God, the inspired word that speaks directly into our lives. And so today we would ask you, Lord, that you'd anoint this word, anoint my efforts, my lips, anoint your people, Lord. God, that this word falls straight into our hearts, that it bring conviction in the weeks, the months to come, Lord, that we might press deeper into your knowledge and into your word. We pray it in Jesus' name. We ask you as well the offering that we'll be receiving across the worship room and the internet today. Lord, that you would bless those families, bless those individuals that support this ministry, and give us wisdom, Lord, to use every dollar to girdle this globe with the word of God to the best of our abilities. Father, we pray it in Jesus' name and we thank you for it. Amen and amen. So let me read again that same passage, and I want to paraphrase it to try to pull out some of the thoughts, because the first time I went through it, I just read it. But now I want to go through it and I want to start extracting some information, because it's giving us instruction and it's telling us what the threshold of that instruction is, how to gain the knowledge of God. It's telling us that. You know, the Bible is the only book in existence that tells the human race the things that we want to know most, but most of us don't know them. How's the world going to end? Can you detail that out? Because it's here. What's it like in heaven? What's it like at the throne of God? Do you know that? Because it's here. What's it going to be like when the world ends 1,000 years into the golden age? What's that going to be like? What's going to happen? It's here. The knowledge of God is here. But it takes mental exercise, spiritual exercise to dig in and to find it. So let's read it again. He says, my son, if, meaning it's not the default, it's not where everybody's at, you have to get to this place. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandment in it with thee, so that, the word so that, it means to the extent. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments in thee, to the extent that thou would incline thine ears to wisdom. Now, there's a difference between reading the words on the page and extracting the wisdom of God. Are you with me today? When we read in general, we're just accumulating data. We're just getting different pieces of data. But when we gain wisdom, we can construct that data in a coherent structure that it represents truth, that we know what it actually means. We know what it says. We're not just reading blindly. And one of the mistakes that we make is that we read it enough that we can quote it. How many know if you read it enough times, you can quote it? And that's wonderful. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. But my God, don't stop there. Because if you're quoting it and you don't know what it means, it's just poetry. It's just poetry. There's nothing behind it. But once you grasp the wisdom that's in the word, that's when it begins to impact you. So he says, so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom, and here it is, and apply thy heart. That means that you can just read and it's just head knowledge. But when it sinks down about 6 inches deeper into your heart and it becomes a part of your being, that's how all of us need the word of God. Several years ago, they had these little bands you put on, What Would Jesus Do? Absolutely silly. Because by the time somebody slaps you upside the head, you're not going to look at the band and wonder, what would Jesus do? You got to already have whatever you got, else you're going to slap them back. Amen. And so, but when you have the word of God in your heart, you've got an instant check on yourself. You've got to check before it even happens. You've got the Holy One living on the inside, guiding you day to day. You don't have to check your notes. You don't need a bracelet. You have the living God on the inside because he is the eternal Logos. He is the word of God that abides on the inside. That's who Jesus is. And he wants to take up his abode in each and every one of us. And here's the thing about sanctification is God sanctifies you based on the knowledge you have of the word of God. I use this example. My mother is German, and she speaks in German. She's gone on to be with the Lord, but when she was here, she spoke in German. And she's my mother. I've known her all my life. But when she spoke in German, I had no idea what she was talking about. God speaks Bible. You are his child. But if you don't understand the language of Bible, it's a difficult communication between you. And he's given you a perfectly developed brain inside of your head. He's given you perfect eyes, the ability to be a rational being that can read these words and accumulate thoughts. That's how he wants to communicate with you. That's where the relationship is at. That's how you know his heart and his will. He said, if thou apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if you cry after knowledge, it lift up thy voice for understanding. That means you have a hunger on the inside of you. That means you begin to desire the word of God. You begin to have questions in your mind. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, go look that up. Go dig into that and look that up and figure out, answer your questions that you have concerning God. If thou seekest her as silver, search with for her as he a treasure. It means that you need to be as, how many got a job? A job, an employment. You get up every day at the same time. And you do whatever you have to do to get to your place of employment. And you stay there ever how long they tell you to stay there, because you have to have that money. You're looking for the equivalent of silver and hid treasure. You need funds. He's saying, just like that, you need to get up at the same time. Amen. Do whatever you have to do to find a quiet place by yourself to get into the Word of God. That it's wonderful to read your Bibles as a family. That's a wonderful thing to do. I'm not battling that at all. But you as an individual need to have individual time with God, because you need an individual experience with Him. I never will forget, I was reading years ago about Peter walking on the water. I think I was in church. I was sitting on the altar. It wasn't a church service. I was at church a lot. Sitting on the altar, reading about Peter walking on the water, and God the Holy Ghost helped me to understand what that meant. And it was funny because you have the page like this. I was in the middle of the page, and he made my eyes just go straight across to the other side of the page, and it just worked together just beautifully to help me understand Peter was walking in a place of impossibility. A place it's not possible to walk on the water. But yet Peter did it. But my point is that if you will spend that time with God, you can have an experience with Him. He will sit beside you and teach you. He's not called the teacher for nothing. But we have to spend that time. So he says, if thou wilt seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasure, then. Notice the word then. Not before. Not before you study, not before you have a hunger, not before you seek for wisdom as silver and gold, but when you do that, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Do you see the then? How important it is? You got to do before then for you to pass then. If you don't do what's before then, you don't get to pass then. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And so what I'm preaching today is that we need to use the Bible that we've given. All He's left you was this book and His Spirit. That's all He left you. He left you nothing else. And we have to use both of those to the fullest degree that we can. And so I recommend to everybody, find a place, a time that you can be alone, ever how long you can do it. At first, just pray and say, God, I'm here. I'm reading your word. I'm studying your word. I want to come away with understanding. Will you please sit with me and teach me? And the Holy Spirit will come right up beside you as you're working through the word, and He will begin to reveal to you things that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. But only the Holy Spirit can reveal. How do you think Paul has such great revelation? He took those Old Testament ancient stories and he pulled revelation out of them that was so rich, it boggles our minds today. But throughout the entirety of the New Testament, we see over and over the importance of gaining the knowledge of God. It somewhat irks me when people take up the time of God's people and teach them things that are not spiritual. You know, how to make more money. You can make all the money. You still can go to hell. It doesn't matter how much money you have. Or how to have a happy life with a happy wife. What's more important is knowing the Lord Himself. All that will take care of itself. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness. He said, I'll fix all that other stuff in the background. Don't worry about that. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he gives us something that we have to know here, beginning with verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. Now, stop right there. He's using this term Gentiles because in the culture of that day, for the most part, Gentiles were the one who had no relationship with God. They were the heathen nations. And so when he uses Gentiles, he's not talking technically about non-Jewish people, but he's talking about people that do not have relationship with God. And let me just add this. Your relationship with God, don't take it for granted. Most of the people on this planet do have no relationship with God. They don't even know he exists. They think they came from a bug in a pond of chemicals a billion years ago and grew out of a monkey or something like that. But you and I, we are in relationship with the creator of the entire world. Don't take that for granted. That's important. So he's telling us, don't walk like other people that are not in relationship with God walk, which is in the vanity of their mind. Watch this. Having their understanding darkened. It means their understanding is dull and dark. The lights are turned out. Being alienated, that means set apart from the life of God through what? Through the ignorance that is in them. Ignorance is just simply you don't have a certain amount of knowledge. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. Maybe you are. I suppose all of us are. But ignorant means you don't know what you don't know. And here's the challenge. God is setting before us what we don't know. And do we have the motivation to begin to seek it out so that we can grow in our knowledge? He said that they were alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. And so he's telling us then that our ignorance causes a separation between us and God. Not because God hasn't given us the knowledge, but because we sometimes don't apply our hearts to understanding. Is anybody with me this morning? I'm not beating you up. I'm wanting to motivate and encourage you. Get into your word. Now understand something. I had a brother ask me something recently. It was a good question, an honest question from a good Christian. What do you do when you've read your Bible, but there's just not an interest there anymore? You've read the story so many times, you know what's on the next verse. You begin to read the parable, you can close your Bible and you can read the rest of the parable with your Bible closed. You've read it so many times. What do you do when the interest is gone? And I'm sure there's many Christians that have that. If you've been walking with the Lord for any amount of time, the thing is that you stop simply reading at that level, you go deeper. You go deeper. Because there is depth. The Bible is not just wide, the Bible is also deep. And I guarantee you, you and I both, we're reading right past most of the knowledge that's in the Word of God. And so what do I mean by go deeper? I mean slow down and parse the meaning of every phrase. What does that mean? What does that mean? Take notes and take a whole verse and pull it apart. What does that mean? What's that word mean? And pull it apart, then apply your notes back to that verse and get an amplified meaning of what is being said. And that's going to be a stronger data point that you accumulate to yourself so that you more easily can put things together. Say, oh, this is how that works. This is how that works. Paul wrote to 2 Timothy. This is the last letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. He knew his time was at hand. He knew he was about to be beheaded in a Roman prison. And he puts this letter together to Timothy, his young protege, who was senior pastor at the church of Ephesus. And he tells Timothy, here's what you need to do, verse 15, study. He didn't say read your Bible. He said study. To show thyself approved unto God. Now, this word study is important. You know when you was in school, or you may still be in school, and you got a test coming and you cram for a test? How many's ever had to cram for a test? And what you do when you cram for the test is you put it in your short-term knowledge, because the test is next week. I just got to remember it for a week. Boom. It's in your short-term knowledge. But that's not what study in the Word of God is. That means you come away with a full understanding of what you just read. It's not in your short-term memory. Your worldview, your biblical view has changed by the information that you've been given. You see, if you poll many Christians don't know what they believe. And some will even say, I believe what my pastor believes. Now, let me tell you something. I love you. Do not trust me to know the word for you. I will do the best I can to facilitate your learning. I'll do the very best I can. But you have to know the word for yourself. Because when you get in a trial, when you're in a situation, when you've got to have God right now, this moment, I generally don't answer my phone. It rings too much. I'll turn the ringer off. You can't get me. And even if you could, I don't care about your trial as much as you care about your trial. And so you make sure that you're getting the word for yourself and that you're accumulating this knowledge within you. And saints, make sure it's the word, not just religious thoughts. You know, they put these books in the Bible bookstore now, the precious promises of God. How many's got one of those? Throw it smooth in the garbage can. Because you cannot take God's word out of content and think that it has power. And here's something else. When you're reading your word, say, well, yeah, I'm reading my word, and you read a parable. No, don't read a parable. You need to read at least a chapter. What's it going to take, 5 minutes? And since it only took 3 minutes, go back and read it again and really parse through the meaning of every phrase. And all of a sudden, the word will begin to open up to you because now you're doing what Proverbs said. You're inclining your heart to understanding. Then will the knowledge of God be opened up. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God, being a workman that need not be ashamed. Now, what that means is that one day all of us will stand before God, and whatever knowledge you've accumulated will, of course, you take that knowledge with you. But some of us will stand before God and we'll still be babies in Christ. Been saved 15, 25 years and still don't know anything about the Word of God, which is one of the two things that He gave us. I have some grandbabies out in the lobby. And they're not that much different than I am. They've got two legs and two arms. They have a head. They have to eat and they have to sleep just like I do. But what makes me different than those babies is the knowledge that I've accumulated over the years of my life. And what makes a mature Christian different from a babe in Christ is the knowledge that they accumulate over the course of their salvation. And you can be saved only 5 years. And you can still be more mature than somebody who's been saved 35 if you've been down to business with the Word of God. So he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. And this is very important, rightly dividing the word of truth. You cannot make it up. You cannot just read it and make it up. Don't do that. You're hurting yourself and you're hurting anyone that you ever speak to when you just make it up. Don't trust yourself that much. Does it sound like I'm scolding you? That's not my spirit at all. But don't trust yourself that much to think that you are so intellectually superior that you can just read this and just know. I just know what it means. No, you need to study it. There are great men and women of God that have lived decades and, in fact, centuries before you. What did all of them think about it? You need to have a set of commentaries from preachers that you trust. I have three go-tos. I really have four go-tos that I go to all the time. I go to Gill, I go to Barnes, I go to David Guzik, and I go to Brother Swaggers. I go to their commentaries all the time because I need to hear a consensus of what do you guys think? And many times you read four of them and they disagree, but they all agree on one thing. Then I'll consider that one thing and see if I agree or not. I might not agree with them, but I've done due diligence to make sure that I know what the whole layout is of theological thought. So don't just trust yourself and just read and say, oh yeah, I know what that is. You probably don't. You probably don't. Do some study. Get your notebook and a pencil and begin to write down notes. Get you a commentary, more than one commentary. You can get them free on the internet. And go to that verse to see, what are they saying? What are they thinking about this? And then don't just read the commentary, because some of them ain't right now. Some of the commentaries are not right. You've got to apply your brain to it to make it pass the idiot test before you just eat it. Here's what Isaiah said. Here's why we can't just go off of what we think when we read it. Here's why. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, the Lord is speaking. And he says, because my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. Now, let's just stop right there and let's see what he's really saying. My thoughts are not your thoughts. God is what we call omniscient. It means he has full understanding of everything, past, present, and future, from the largest black hole in the universe to the smallest particle on earth. He fully has full comprehension of everything at any given time. And because he has full comprehension, because he has that degree of wisdom, well, of course his thoughts are not our thoughts, because we don't have full comprehension like that. And then he says, and my ways, he says, neither are your ways my ways. Meaning that God has access to resources that we can't even imagine. He's able to do, for example, if I wanted to be right beside that camera, I have one choice. I have to walk back there and stand beside the camera. But God has 1,000 different ways to stand beside the camera, because he's also omnipresent. The point is that God is so superior to us, and that's what he's pointing out here. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now, what is he saying? He's saying exactly the same way that the heavens are higher than the surface of this earth. When you look at the blue sky, that's not the heavens, that's the sky. The heavens go past the moon, past Jupiter, past Pluto, past the next Andromeda galaxy. It goes 9 billion light years up. He said, that's how far my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That's how high my ways are above your ways. So what he's saying is that I got you by a long shot. As smart as you and I are, God is saying, I got you by a long shot. He goes on to say, but as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. So here's what he's saying. In the natural, you can see the grass is dried up. It hadn't had any rain. The trees are under stress. But let it be a good rain come down from the heaven, and all of a sudden everything turns green. Everything starts budding. Everything starts coming alive again. He says, so is my word, that it comes down from him that has thoughts and ways higher than us. It comes down from him. It causes our lives to bud. It causes us to bring forth. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying today? See, if you ever wonder, why am I walking around dry and why am I walking around discouraged? Man, get into the word of God. The thing is that we can become so carnal and we spend so much time looking at our troubles that the next thing you know, you're looking at the troublemaker. Now you're talking to a Satan, you're fellowshipping with him. He's telling you all bad news. And it's get back in the word of God, and all of a sudden things become brighter. The problems don't necessarily leave, but your attitude changes. It changes you. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. God is making a promise that when this spiritual rain comes down upon his children, it doesn't return unto him. It accomplishes that he pleases. It means it will always cause you to bud. It will always cause you to bring forth. It will always put you in a better situation. It accomplishes that I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. You, me, we are the thing whereunto he sent it. And he's saying that when that word comes on the inside of us, it will prosper. It will build you up. It will conform you to Christ. It will strengthen you when you're weak. It will build up the feeble knees. No matter what you're going through, you get into the word of God, don't even look for your problem. Just read the word. Don't look for the problem. See, we're taught in the natural, oh, you're having problem A, B, and C. Go find the scripture on A, B, and C. God don't work that way. He don't work that way at all. He can show you D, E, and F, and it makes A, B, and C like it never even happened. Praise God. Man, I've run out of time. We'll close with this last verse in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus is speaking, and he says, come unto me. He's speaking to you and I. Come unto me, all you that are that labor and are heavy laden. It means that if you're going through too much, how many's ever just had too much on you? If you're going through too much, the burden just is wearisome that you carry. He says, come unto me, I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. This is important. A yoke is the wooden device you put on an ox, so it teams it up with the ox beside it. And Jesus is standing there with a yoke on his neck saying, just slide your neck into this yoke. Get yoked up with me. It talks about an authority. Submit to the authority of Jesus's yoke. And there's discipline involved. You're going to have to learn how to do it. There's a learning curve involved in it. But he says, take my yoke upon you, and it doesn't say read your Bible, does it? It says learn. Now, this word learn in the Greek is manthano. It means to learn until you understand. And so you want, well, how long do I have to read my Bible? Until you understand it. That's why you need to read whole books, not just verses and chapters. Read whole books. It's one cohesive letter. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, but you will find rest for your soul. Praise the name of the Lord. I wish I had 3 more hours because I could preach on this from now on. Say, this is the overcoming life. You want to be an overcomer? You need to have that word in your heart. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not worried about sin. Most sin I put off, all the external sins, I put that off a long time ago. I'm not worried about sin in my life. I'm worried about, Lord, am I pleasing to you? Am I pleasing? And I know the answer is not 100%. Lord, where's the areas? How can I do better? I love you. And I know you love me, and I don't want to do anything that's not pleasing to you. And you find out through the word of God. See, we all want God to come and stand at the foot of our bed like Solomon and say, "What? Ask me anything, and I'll give you whatever you ask." All of us want that. But that, God don't always move the same way. But he said, here's the book. The knowledge of God is in it. Get out of it whatever that you want. Get as much out of it as you want. You are where you are today because that's all that you have wanted. You know what you know today concerning the knowledge of God because that's all you've wanted to know. But it's in the book. Apply our hearts, I speak to myself as well, to understanding. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we thank you so much. God, I just ask you, take this feeble attempt on my part. God, apply it to the hearts of your people in such a way that it produces a conviction, a hungry conviction for the Word of God. Lord, that we might begin to build our libraries. Lord, not books on a shelf, but books that we've read on a shelf. Books that we reference concerning your Word of God, to open it up that we might understand it in its fullness. God, help us not to think it's just for the preacher. Help us not to think it's just for those who are deep in the Lord, but it's for every last one of us. If you would, just stand to your feet today, if you're able. If you're able this morning, if you just stand to your feet and begin to reach out to the Lord. Saints, you have an eternal soul. Jesus wants to do in your life as an individual what he's doing in countless millions of Christians' lives. And just reach out and begin to ask him, God, give me a hunger. Give me a hunger for the Word of God. Lord, give me a thirst for the sincere milk of the Word. Help me to discipline my life and to structure my life in such a way that I have moments alone with just you and the Bible, that you could sit beside me and begin to open the eyes of my understanding, that I could hear, that I could realize and understand your scriptures. Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning, won't you? Ask him to help you. Ask him to help you.
Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for giving us a greater hunger, a greater desire, a greater thirst for your word, God, because it is what we need, Lord. It is how we know who we are, and even more importantly, who we are in you, God. We need to know more about you and your word, Lord. So we ask humbly, God, that you just strengthen our desire and our thirst for you and your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank all of you for coming today. So great to see you here. Thank you for those who've joined us online as well. I just have a few announcements. If you haven't given already, please support the ministry and our giving. We definitely need your support. Also, on August 31st, we are planning communion for both services. So if you'd like to participate and join us, please do so. Attend on August 31st for communion. And then, as Pastor Lincoln mentioned earlier, there will be a baptism service that's scheduled. There's not a date yet, but if you're interested in being baptized, you would need to see Pastor Lincoln, Sister Lincoln, or Brother Ike. And lastly, thank you to all of you who invited someone out, your people, last week. If you did invite, thank you for coming. Thank you for the visitors today. And the people that I invited weren't able to make it last week, but I told them it's an open invitation. So if you invited someone last week, or, you know, and they came, just let them know they're welcome. They're welcome to come. And like I told all my people, it's an open invitation. Amen. Thank you so much. May the Lord cover you and keep you throughout this week. You are dismissed.